it's weird because I always would have arguments with my parents about, oh, I'm an introvert, you know, and they're like, no, you're not, because introverts don't want attention. And I like being in front of the camera. I like being behind it. I don't know. I love not the attention of being in the camera, in the spotlight, but I love being able to put on that performance.
It's officially Viz Hours, and we're glad to have you spending your time with us. My name is Cale Cox, and Viz Hours makes no sense to me. So basically, Viz Hours is our time on campus here at Bethel, where you are allowed to have people of the opposite gender in your hall or on your floor or in your room. I think the hours are Monday, Tuesday, 4 to 10 p.m. Wednesday, there's no Viz Hours. Thursday's 4 to 10. Friday is 4 to midnight. And then Saturday is 12 to midnight. Sunday's 12 to 10, I think. Yeah, 12 to 10. So it really doesn't make sense to me. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a bunch of other stuff. And here to talk with me is a good friend of mine and a classmate. He's an aspiring filmmaker who's worked on 3 projects, but has yet to cast me. This man is a professional vlogger. He's been on American Ninja Warrior, where he's placed 6th out of 100. He's the flipping ninja, Ben Martin.
Thank you for having me, Cale.
Of course, dude. Such a great start for this podcast, having you here. American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me, when did you do that?
So that took place, the shooting was during last semester. So it was kind of towards the tail end, right by, like, really close to finals week, which was a little stressful. But that was when we filmed it, and then it aired kind of midsummer.
Okay, and you filmed that where? Where was that?
It was at the Tacoma Dome in Tacoma, Washington.
Wow, so you traveled to Washington. Wow. Okay, so tell me, what was the auditioning process for that? How does that work?
Yeah, so I had to fill out an 8-page online application kind of detailing my life story, why they should pick me. And then basically I had to animate that into a 3-minute video just talking about who am I and why they should select me. And that's kind of the submission tape that they get to see.
Do you have any idea how many people they had submission tapes from?
1 year. Okay, so I'm not sure which year this was, but 1 year it was rumored that there were 50,000 applicants.
50,000. Yeah. My goodness. I don't think I could do that. So you're the flipping ninja is what you call yourself, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you come up with that name, or was that kind of brought onto you by someone else?
Yeah, it was. So my boss, he is the rainbow ninja.
Rainbow ninja.
Yes, yeah. He's the first openly, you know, LGBT ninja warrior. And so he, just talking with him, he told me, he was like, hey, you should be the flipping ninja. And so I thought about it, and I came up with a few more that I liked better. And then towards the end, when I got the call, I was like, oh shoot, I need to come up
you
with something now, because this is like here. So I just was like, all right, whatever, Flippy Ninja, here it is.
That's awesome. So you trained for that, I'm guessing.
Yes, yeah.
Was it a really difficult training process, or was it kind of what you're used to?
Yeah, I had to push myself out of my comfort zone, especially once I got the call. Prior to that, I think when I was on the show, I had been training kind of formally Ninja Warrior for about a year. And I didn't really do it that seriously until I knew that the show was something that could be realistic. And so that's something that I'm really excited for going into this year, is that I have, you know, more time, more experience, and more intensified training.
Are you going to do it again?
Certainly, yeah. I already applied. I already sent it in, so.
I did see that. That audition tape was, or something was on your Instagram.
Yeah, I think I uploaded that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really cool. I wish that I had that dedication. When you were there, did you see the other competitors? Like, do they do them all just in a row?
Yes. So basically, it's like, depending on whether or not you make it, you know, you advance to the city finals round. It's 2 days. Both are 12-hour shooting days. And if you're a competitor, you have to be on set for the entire time. So we showed up. Usually, they film overnight, so starting at like 9 p.m., all the way until like 4 a.m. And that's brutal. But this was the first ever indoor filming of American Ninja Warrior. So I was, it was super crazy to be on that and kind of a historical moment. So we had to show up like 8 a.m, checked in, got our goodie bags, and then the competitors just hung out in the holding area. We were like banned from even looking at the course, just to prevent, you know, unfair advantages. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's kind of a cool, mysterious effect that adds. But so we were just chilling out in the holding area where there were a few obstacles we could warm up on, train on. And then from there, we had to go through rules, and then we got to watch people demonstrate the obstacles, couldn't touch them. There was about 100 people just standing by the course, walking through it, going through rules, and then 100 people asking questions about the obstacles, which took a long time to go through rules. And then when the actual taping began, we just had to sit there. Some people took naps. I don't know how, because it was just so high stress, at least for me. But it was super cool because there were ninjas, that well-known ninjas that weren't competing that day, that already competed or whatever, and they were there supporting, you know, promoting the community.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
One last question I have on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for people to go watch that?
Yes. Yeah, there certainly is. It's on that episode. I was on 2 episodes, so I was on the city qualifiers, which I got 6th place in. And then I was in city finals, which I think I just missed the cut for the Vegas one by like 3 people. But I was on both those episodes. Those are on Hulu. Otherwise, you can find them on NBC Network or my YouTube channel.
And what is that?
I just changed the username, so it's The Flipping Ninja. You guys can check it out. I just post blogs, kind of reviews, tutorials, a lot of broad content.
Okay, we'll talk about vlogs later on, but next I want to get into films. So you're an aspiring filmmaker, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you've worked on 3 projects so far.
Yep.
And one was a silent film.
Mm-hmm. So we've worked on, me and my collaborator, we've worked on 3 projects. Only one of them is fully finished, like edited, done. And that's because it was for a class. So that one was pretty stressful just because of how strict the guidelines were. And ultimately, we weren't happy with it just because of we felt like we couldn't creatively do what we wanted to do. And so that being our first project in high school, that motivated us to kind of go off on our own and let loose the restraints and just be creative and kind of write how we want to write, direct how we want to direct, and cast, you know, accordingly.
And was that your silent film or was that a short film?
So the silent, it was like, that one was like 5 minutes, I think. And that one was in high school. And then that's kind of what prompted us to start thinking about this as a serious thing. Mm-hmm.
So with writing a silent film, did you write it to where there were people on screen talking, but as in most silent films, it was no audio?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you not have any script written?
Yeah. So what we did, we had 0 dialogue. So we had to kind of convey everything just through on-screen action. Which we found to be a little difficult, but mm-hmm. I think with what we had, we did what we could, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And then you did a short film or a feature length film first?
We started a film. We only got like halfway through shooting, and then all of our actors just got too busy. So that was like 2 summers ago, and then this past summer we completely finished filming a project, and it turned out to be about 100 minutes of usable footage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite like what we would like to have feature length. So we might just table that one, learn from the process, and we have plans to this year, before 2020, finish filming a short, and then kind of ultimately turning that into a feature.
When going to create one of these films, there's obviously a lot that goes into it, whether it's casting or scouting locations.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to find people to act in your short films or your feature-length films, how does that work for you? Because it's obviously very different than having a casting agency go out and find people to come in and audition.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it like for you compared to that?
Yeah. Well, I think especially when you only have 2 people balancing all of the jobs that filmmakers would have, being the producer, the cast, or the director, the screenwriter, the director of photography, all of that just crushed into two people. You really have to get creative and use your resources. And I think one thing that I heard that I completely vibe with and agree with is that no matter, like, when you're casting especially, and having choosing who to have on your set and who to work with, I think having that, like, assurance of they're going to be, like, someone that I want there, and using that kind of over, like, talent or what you think ultimately they can give you for the project. Because I think ultimately it comes down to just, like, what I want to work with this person, you know.
Yeah.
And if that ticks the box for me and my collaborator, honestly, we're willing to try it. And so basically what we've done for the casting process, since we don't have agencies and we don't know that many people who are in the kind of the acting world, which we're hoping to, you know, broaden and connect with more people as this grows and progresses. For now, we've just been reaching out to people who we think could fit the part, do a decent job, and then providing them with, like, table reads, seeing if they're comfortable with it. And if they are, we'll roll with it.
You said, if I want to work with this person. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of people gloss over. Sometimes you wonder, why don't people just hire the biggest celebrities for every project? And I think it's because, for some people, like you said, talent isn't always top priority. Because if you're working on a film and you have the most talented person in the world, let's say you got Jared Leto, but he's coming pissed off about this whole Joker situation, and he's just a pain to work with, nobody's going to want to work with Jared Leto if he's super mad all the time.
Exactly.
And especially with, like, Suicide Squad, where he was giving people, like, dead fish and bunches,
just a bunch of weird
things. You don't want to work with that. So I can definitely understand where you say it's about the person, sometimes over the skill. You want somebody who obviously has some skill, correct?
Yes, yeah. And I think a lot of times it's hard to predict that just looking through people, especially contacts you know. And so you kind of got to play it by ear. And if it comes to the time where you're going over the table read, or you're going through even the first, like, scene, I know some directors have this problem where they start the whole filming process, and they realize, oh, shoot, this isn't the actor that we think we need. And so then that's totally fine. You just tell them. You have to be honest with, you know, who you're working with, and then you can just start the process over again.
You work behind the camera. What's your, like, what position are you in the most?
Yeah, okay, so, well, that's interesting.
Because actually, there's only two of you.
Right, right.
But you have to do everything. Is there an area where you think you're at your best?
Oftentimes, I think for me, I'm the best at camera operating. I've had, I don't know, some experience with freelance, like, work as far as video goes. I know how to work around my camera, and I love it. And I think I like to credit myself with having an eye for, like, what would look good in certain shots, and especially when you take the time to write out things and script it and script the shots, it's a lot easier to replicate that. But a lot of times I find myself in front of the camera for some projects, which makes it a little bit even more of a hassle, but yeah.
Do you feel comfortable when you're in front of the camera in a setting like a film?
Honestly, I love it, and it's weird, because I always would have arguments with my parents about, oh, I'm an introvert, you know, and they're like, no, you're not, because introverts don't want attention. And I like being in front of the camera. I like being behind it. I don't know. I love not the attention of being in the camera in the spotlight, but I love being able to put on that performance.
And does that kind of play into your vlogging that you do?
Yeah, certainly. It really does. I think having that, you know, obviously with vlogs, you're real, and it's still you, but you're putting on sort of a persona and a performance for your content, for your viewers.
Yeah, like a hyperbolic version of you. You like to exaggerate yourself a little bit.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people can take that to an extreme sometimes. But for you, I've watched some of your videos.
Sure.
You're exactly how you are. When I watch you, I'm just like, this has definitely been. And every video is entertaining. You said you have an eye for, like, what would look good in a shot, and you can see that when you go and watch your videos.
Thank you.
I didn't watch your most recent one. It was some Halloween-themed video. What was that?
Yeah. So basically, I'm paired up with this site organization called Campus Reel, and they're commissioning me to kind of make Bethel campus life / tour videos. Okay. And so the beginning of the Halloween one starts with kind of a WLC Wellness Center tour, and then it shifts into going to Valley Scare and spending the evening there, getting some B-roll and just hanging out there, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Guys, be sure to go check that out. You said it's the Flipping Ninja right now, right? Awesome. What was it before?
It was just Ben Martin before.
Just Ben Martin. Well, there you go. There's that. When did you start vlogging?
Wow. I believe my first video can be found all the way back to either 2014 or 2013.
2013. My goodness, I just started watching YouTube in, like, 2013.
Well, so we were shooting them on, you know, the iPod 4. It was just parkour videos. Me and my buddies were doing some tricks. Oh, are you looking it up right now?
I'm looking up mine because I'm interested to see when my first videos were.
Gotcha. But, yeah, I think it's been a few years, and it didn't really evolve into vlogging until I got more comfortable with one, the quality of my camera, because I didn't want to be vlogging on, like, an iPod 4. I feel like that would be really cringy. And let's see. So I've been doing it for 5 years, YouTube for five years.
Okay.
And I started off with parkour stunt videos, travel videos, and then I realized, like, hey, this is – because I loved watching vloggers and YouTubers, especially on, like, tech topics. And so I was like, well, why not give this a try? And if it's bad, it's bad. But if it's not, it could grow into something. And mostly, I just, you know, if you do it from a place of curiosity and personal enjoyment versus seeking out, you know, fame, success, you're trying to emulate so-and-so, I think it's going to be a lot more fulfilling. And that's what I've certainly found in my journey. And there's it's not perfect. Like, there have been times where I get insecure about it, or I feel like quitting, or you know, you feel like you're not doing enough, but ultimately it's been a really positive experience.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell that you're doing pretty well. You have just over 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
Which, that's a pretty big milestone, even though it seems so small compared to so many people.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You're still reaching over 1,000 people, and you get the chance to impact that many people every time you upload a video. I started uploading videos about a year ago.
Okay.
I had some up from before that, but there's just a part of me that knows nobody genuinely wants to watch those because, well, no, everybody wants to watch them, and I think that's the problem, really. I just didn't want people to watch them because that was me in my, like, prepubescent years. I was the most uncomfortable and unfunny person. And I tried to be this super cool vlogger right off the start with my first video. And that wasn't me at all.
Sure.
Now, as I've been uploading more recently, I've started to find my niche. And I think my niche is not having a specific, like, I'm a vlogger or I'm a skits guy, but just knowing who my audience is. And my audience is the people who, like, weird comedy.
Yeah.
Cringe comedy can be good if done correctly, and that's finally where I'm starting to get with my content.
Sure.
My vlogs are starting to get shorter, which is good, because I used to think that you needed time. But you don't need time. You need people to be encapsulated by the video, and you want them to be there for as long as it is or as short as it is. So now I'm posting, like, 6 to 10 minute videos.
That's perfect, yeah.
And all of them are me being myself and me being not this false version of me, but it's me being my awkward self, which I find to be some of the best comedy ever. Do you like comedy?
I love it, yeah. I'm
where do you look, if you know comedians at all, who would you say you find, like, to be the funniest?
For me, it's Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele. That's just, those are my go-to. Like, just phenomenal. Just how many hats they can wear, and they do it so well. Mm-hmm. That's where I find, I guess, I'm most at home as far as comedy.
Mm-hmm. One person that I would say, in terms of being a comedian, I'm very, very interested in Bo Burnham his comedy style. It's so much more than just a stand-up comic performance. It's theater.
Yeah.
It's a lot of acting, and it's a lot of making you feel kind of uncomfortable, because then that pushes you out of your comfort zone, and then you're able to truly enjoy whatever's going on. There's one other YouTuber. I'm going to screw up this name. Joanna Cydia?
Cydia? Okay. Is she a local or?
No, but she posted a video, it may have been like 6 months or a year ago, where she cut her hair with craft scissors.
Oh, like the zigzag ones?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
And so that kind of started her YouTube career. She had a few followers before that.
Sure.
But now she's over 3 million, and her comedy style is quite similar to what I enjoy. It's very jumpy. It's kind of all over the place, but it's exactly what her fans want to watch.
Yeah.
She posted a video, 3 million cookies for 3 million subscribers, and she kind of just takes you through her trying to make 3 million cookies. Obviously, she didn't make 3 million because that would be insane.
A little clickbaity, but yeah, that's good.
But you can see, as you're watching it, that she has the full intention of being her awkward and, like, comedic self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm striving for. But there's times where I feel really uncomfortable behind the camera.
Yeah.
Or in front of it. Do you ever have moments when you're just like, I can't vlog right here. I can't. Have you ever questioned if you should vlog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, certainly. I think a lot of times for me is I feel so comfortable being in front of the camera when I'm by myself or when I know there's not people around me being able to hear. And then when, like, if you throw in some just strangers, I get, I don't know, I dial things back and I shrink. And sometimes I start to think, like, oh, like, why am I doing this? And if I feel this way, if I'm not confident enough, I shouldn't be doing this. But I think that's just initially what it is.
Yeah.
And YouTube is really, like you were saying, it's a perfect place where you can feel at home and be yourself, no matter how awkward you are. And that's what's really beautiful about it. And I think, you know, if you're uncomfortable vlogging in public, maybe don't start there. You know, start doing it in some place where you're more comfortable and you can feel like you're not gonna die, and then you can slowly pushing your comfort level, just like how you like comedy that does that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super healthy thing.
Yeah, and like Joanna does, and I've kind of done this, is a lot of my content is just me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of me vlogging by myself, and I think if anybody wants to start YouTube or vlogging or whatever it is, that's a great way to start. Is start by having you just be in front of the camera and then just get comfortable being in front of the camera on your own, then bring in some friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great thing to do. I have a few videos where I'm with my friends, and you can tell that there's a little bit of me being uncomfortable in there.
Sure.
But as the video progresses, you always see yourself just becoming more comfortable and becoming more normal to the sense of having other people around you. So if you want to get into YouTube or vlogging, Start small. You don't have to go out and be as big as Jake or Logan Paul. You don't have to be, I mean, even PewDiePie does videos on his own.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. You don't have to be Mr. Beast spending $20,000 every video. Don't spend $20,000 every video. And you don't, if you have a group of friends who you want to vlog with those friends.
Mm-hmm.
Don't push yourself too fast, because if you push yourself too fast, then you're going to fall off a ledge.
You'll burn out, yeah. I think one of the super important things that you touched on is, especially for the introverts or those who might not feel as comfortable, really taking the time to establish kind of your camera personality and who you are in front of the camera before you go out on endeavors like collaborating with others or even just hanging out with your friends on camera. I think that's a super helpful part that I kind of learned.
All right. So going from this idea of doing YouTube or doing things like being an Instagram star or American Ninja Warrior, those are all really non-formal things. They're not generally the profession that somebody would go into. And we're both in college right now here at Bethel University. Go
Fantastic.
Royals.
Oh, yeah.
We love it. But I kind of want to talk now about the use of college. So we talked about this a little bit before the show. I think there's a timeline that older generations put before us. And that generation says, you're going to go K through 12, graduate high school, go to college. You're going to go to college all 4 years or all 8 years, whatever it is. Then you're going to get a stable paying job. Eventually you'll get married, you'll have kids, and then the cycle repeats. Mm-hmm. With vlogging, or with American Ninja Warrior, or filmmaking, you see yourself in a totally different just subject area than that. We're in college, sure, but whether it's YouTube or actual filmmaking, that's not a stable paying environment. So how do you think you would, how does your mindset allow you to know that this is what you want to do, even though pretty much your whole life you hear people saying that's not what you should do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, I've been on that path, and especially for the past X amount of years growing up, you know, that's been what we've been fed. And being here at Bethel, it's fantastic. And just like everyone else, I've been having a lot of doubts, you know, because I see myself doing all these things that, you know, Ninja Warrior, YouTubing, filmmaking. And I've had a lot of conflicting thoughts as to, like, here's what I should be doing, the college, work in an office 9 to 5. But what do I really want to do? Mm-hmm. And I think I'm never going to have it figured out. I'm never going to have a solid plan, especially just because these industries and these professions aren't, you know, solid paying or solid. There's no promises, really. And there's a lot of going out of your comfort zone, pushing yourself, and kind of taking a leap of faith, which is something that I'm working up to. But I think I see college as, you know, a tool, and not as a necessity, or, you know, if it's not something you're interested in, you're just going to be a homeless bum on Venice Beach, you know?
Yeah, that's not at all how it is. You can see yourself doing college. You can see yourself leaving college. You can see yourself never going to college. You can still succeed in life without it. You can see that even in normal jobs now. Mm-hmm. People aren't always looking for degrees. They want somebody who knows what they need to work on and that can work on it to the best of their abilities, whether you have your degree or not. And I think with filmmaking, that's one big area. So I want to get into filmmaking.
Yeah.
There's a program here at Bethel where you go out and you do like an internship. You stay a full semester in LA, or I think there's some other options too.
Sweet.
But I see myself going to LA. And personally, I don't see myself coming back.
Okay.
I see myself going to LA, finding what I love so much about it, and diving headfirst into it, just going for it. And talking to people, I've heard a lot of people say, I don't know, I think you should come back and get your degree just in case.
Yeah.
And you can sense that they want to help you, but they don't understand, I think, the full drive that I have. Like, I know that I can do it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being held back constantly, I'm never going to get to that place.
Right. I think for college, what you said right there is just perfect. Like, that highlights what college really is in this day and age. Like, it's a tool. So you're gonna be going down there through Bethel's, I guess, aid or help or opportunities. You have this door open to you, and then it's just gonna launch you. And you don't need all these things that, like the degree or the formal training, because you can gather that in LA hands on, and honestly that would be really phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that there's anything bad with college, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
College is great. If you get the chance to go to college, take it. If not for the learning, for the experience, I think everybody should at least try going to college because it is – I've had some of my best moments in life here, and we're not even done with the first semester. Speaking of best moments, what is the craziest experience – or craziest thing you've ever seen that you wish you had filmed?
Ooh, is that limited to being on campus or anywhere?
No, that's anywhere.
Anywhere. Oh, man. Wow.
If you're not ready, I got a story.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, I want to say I was 9 years old. We were in Colorado. This would have been a perfect opportunity for vlogging if I had any clue what that was. And we were skiing. Breckenridge Resort is where we were.
That's a great place.
I had never been skiing before in my life. So I went to ski school. That's where they teach all the kids just how to do normal turns, how to stop, things like that. And I was loving it. I was all bundled up in 38 layers because I hate the cold. Minnesota's not the state for me. This is going to be a rough one. Sorry, little tangent here. I was walking from Bodine down here for lunch, mm-hmm. and it was just freezing.
Oh, already?
I was so cold. But then I thought about the one blessing of Minnesota, right? It may be cold, but I'm pretty sure everywhere else in the U.S. right now, there's snow on the ground. There's snow in Colorado. Kansas.
I've seen videos.
Yeah, I have too, and I'm just like, why isn't it here in Minnesota? I thought that's what they were known for.
Yeah. Living in igloos, yeah.
Living in igloos. But, so I was in ski school. We were halfway through the first day. We had just ate hot dogs. I remember this so well. I didn't put any ketchup on it because I don't like ketchup.
Oh, sure.
So we get done. I had my hot dog and hot chocolate. Wow, that was a good meal. And then we come outside. I don't think it was my first. I think it was my second or third run down the little kitty slope. You're practicing going around these little obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
They had this fake tree, all right? So it was about 4 feet tall, 3-4 feet tall. And the thing with skis is if you hit something, your skis are supposed to pop off.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So I was trying to go left around this tree, and my right foot didn't make it all the way.
Ruh-roh.
So the ski hits the tree, and it starts to twist my right leg, and the ski doesn't pop off. So as fast as I was going,
ooh,
leg snapped. Other than that, I don't remember much, but going in and out of consciousness, laying in the snow.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was rushed to the hospital. I'm fixed up. Now the only problem with me is my left leg is taller than my right leg, just barely. I can notice it when I walk.
Uh-huh.
So I'd say that's probably one of the craziest things that's happened to me. I think everybody has a good bone-breaking story if you broke a bone.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yeah. I broke an ankle one time. I was in fifth grade, and I was doing my first front flip outside ever. And it was winter. It was like January. At recess, I was out there, and there was this hill. And I was like, oh, perfect. A hill can give me enough height to get a full rotation in. So I did the flip, landed on the hill. There was like an ice patch that I landed on, and my ankle just cronked. And then my friends had to like walk me back to the nurse's office and like, what happened? And I was like, I did a front flip. And then the school was like, they banned flips right after that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But look at you now. You know what?
That's not
school, you
me.
Can't stop Ben.
Exactly.
Ben is the flipping ninja. Wow, that's a good story. So, I asked you to prepare a joke.
Yes.
Do you have a joke?
What do you call a man with a rubber toe?
I don't know.
Roberto. I'm sorry, I tried, You know,
hopefully as the guests continue, we'll get somebody who can make me genuinely laugh. But who knows for sure. So that's about it. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
Honestly, this was the perfect program for me. I feel like this was pretty all-encompassing.
Yes.
Hit what you want to hit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Ben, for being on the show. Where can they find you on social media?
On Instagram at Flipping Ninja Fit and YouTube at The Flipping Ninja.
There you go. All right. Viz hours are over, everybody. So I'd like to thank you all once again for listening. Be sure to come back next week. I'm going to give you guys a little hint as to who I have next. So if you live in Bodine, you may know two pretty outstanding guys. One lives on floor one lives on floor two. They're both redheads. They're both super hilarious, and they'll both be seeing me and seeing you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out.